I wonder if you, like me, find at times that we get to a place in the Christmas season where it's survival. Anyone else get there? Have we made it there this year yet? Have we made it there this year where we think to ourselves, I just got to get to Boxing Day, right? Anyone else thought that? It doesn't matter what's going on between now and Boxing Day, I just keep making it to Boxing Day. Problem in my household when I was a young person is that Boxing Day was Granddad's birthday. And so there was no getting to anything. It just seemed to go on for days. 2 days later was my mum's birthday, which is the 29th. And so good day to have a birthday, I reckon, according to Wynn anyway, and my mum. And so it just seemed to be this never-ending party that you get to the 29th and be in this food coma, and then New Year's was coming around and you'd go to Auntie Joyce Toff's place at the beach and food coma continues, right? But there's this moment in which we get to the middle of December and we're probably just around there or just past there and we're like, is this ever going to end? It's like a merry-go-round that we don't want to be on but we can't get off. This morning we are continuing our journey of Jesus in our neighbourhood. We've gone through a number of weeks of this throughout the Advent season. Does anyone remember, this is not a test, but does anyone remember the things that we looked at the first couple of weeks? The first week we looked at the unexpected hour that we are looking in anticipation of what God is going to do amongst us. Not just on Christmas Day, but throughout the year as He comes and moves amongst us. We looked the second week at this concept of having the kingdom of heaven being near. That it's not a far distant God, but He is a God that dwells amongst us and lives in our neighborhood. We are in the midst of our own wilderness. He came and walked with us and works those things through with us. And then last week we looked at the good news to the poor and how in there being good news to the poor that there was good news for each of us, because we all have moments in our lives where we feel just impoverished of hope and mercy and grace and maybe at times love as well. This morning we want to proclaim that Jesus is King. He was born the King. This text tells us how Joseph found out about Mary's pregnancy. If we don't know if the news was shared by a tear-filled, anxiety-ridden Mary, we don't know if it was a friend who said, look, I need to let you know, I think Mary's pregnant. It may have been in 21st century Jerusalem or Bethlehem. It may have been a status update on social media and that Joseph just happened to be tagged in it. Imagine the shock and the horror when your whole family finds out at the same time. Or it could have been when she returned from her visit to Elizabeth. Joseph was a righteous man, and in the midst of him being a righteous man or a man who followed faithfully after God's rule in his life, mess still finds him. Gives us good news, doesn't it? No matter how much we follow Jesus, that there is still going to be mess. It's still not always going to be perfect. Well, we can leave with good news this morning, clicking our heels together. Possibly not. But that's the reality of following God sometimes, is that it does get messy. But what it does show us is that He is faithful. That the God who asks us to follow Him, invites us into a relationship with Him, joins us in our mess. In the midst of the mess, the angel turns up and communicates a message from God. You see, I think without mess, we don't have a message of a faithful God. Without tests, sometimes we struggle to have a testimony. But in the midst of tests and mess, we have a message of a faithful God who we can testify about, that in the midst of our crazy town moments of life, that God shows up. That God does not abandon us, but He pursues us. He wants to be in relationship with us. Imagine being in Joseph's shoes. He thought he was ticking all the boxes, right? If Joseph was of right standing with God, he was following all 638 different rules that he had to keep to be in right standing with God that were part of the Old Testament teachings in the Torah. Those first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's 638 different rules that he had to meet so that he was of right standing with God. And all of a sudden, in one sentence, all of that rule following got thrown out the window. What do you mean? How can I now be with you? You're now not clean. So I'm going to struggle and I'm going to have to go and get more sacrifices. How can I now be with you? This is now mess. I can't have mess. I'm trying to have my life just right so that I can be in relationship with God. Once the angel comes and intervenes, communicates the message from God, he doesn't wake up, he doesn't hesitate, but he does what God asks him to do. We sang a song this morning that says, "In the silence, I choose to believe." Now, there are parts of our valley that Telstra has forgotten. I was chatting to someone the other day and I was having a good old conversation, and then there was silence. We equate silence with the fact that they're no longer there, right? And they definitely were no longer there. It was another 3 Ks before I got signal again. But how often do we equate silence with disconnection? We think that silence, that when we can't hear God, when we can't see Him working, that He isn't there. Well, if we think that silence and maybe a lack of seeing Him at work, we actually are struggling to have faith in those verses in John 1:14 where it says that He came and dwelt among us, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus came and moved into our neighborhood. A number of years ago, my mum and dad had gone to see my grandparents in Bundaberg. Now, there is only so many times that trip, 5 hours from Toowoomba to Bundaberg, can excite a young person. Never. And so I travelled this trip, and then there was an opportunity to stay at home with the neighbours two doors down. And I took it. Every day I took it. Absolutely. Anyway, I knew Mum and Dad were coming home on the Sunday afternoon, and there was a bit of a... It was a springtime. My mum struggles with pollen, and she just... She sneezes a lot in the spring. And I was out in the backyard of the neighbor's house, two doors down. And you know when you just know a voice or you know something about somebody? I heard my mum sneeze, getting stuff off the... And I'm like, "Mum's home. I can go home now, right?" You just know things about people. When I ring my mum and dad, I don't say, "Hey, it's Wes. Can we have a chat?" They know my voice. They probably begrudgingly go, "Oh, it's him again." I don't know. Maybe. I don't care. I'm still ringing them. But there's that element where you have a familiarity, where you just, you have this sense of connection with somebody, that it's in the midst of silence sometimes that you hear a familiar voice. You have that familiar yearning within your soul that God, that it's going to be okay, that God's got it covered. Joseph didn't just claim Mary as his wife, but he claimed Jesus as his son. That's pretty big in Jewish traditions. We could all go around the room this morning, but we want morning tea, but we could share stories about how our perfect married life got hijacked by having children put in it, right? There was this time where, and all of a sudden I didn't get sleep every night. Georgia. It's true. It's true. If Logan was, is he here? There he is. Yeah. You wrecked the sleep too. But it's true. There's moments where you get used to certain things like a full night's sleep. Then children come along. Then you have nieces and nephews who are much younger and you think, never again. Or grandchildren for some in the room, right? No. Can't do that. So it wasn't just getting married, but it was this life-changing experience that was going to shape Joseph and change the direction of his life. But he had it all perfect. Have you had it all perfect? Where you thought, I've got this sorted, all the ducks are in a row, and then life comes along and punts them in 15 different directions, and you're like, but I just had this all sorted out. In the midst of the mess, God shows up. Joseph is told that the child's name Jesus, which means Yahweh, which is an Old Testament name for Jesus, Yahweh saves. The name Jesus fulfills the promise that God had heard the cry of his people. God continues, friends, to hear the cries of his people. Jesus does save people from their sins. There's another name that Jesus is given in this text, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God ahead of us, not God behind us, but God with us. The world is still a very messy place. You don't have to look very far today to see a hurting, broken world. You may be really blessed, and this next sentence may not qualify for you, but it does for me. Our own lives are messy most of the time. There are parts of our lives where we think, oh, we've got it all sussed and all sorted out, and then it almost like it gets put in the blender and you think, whatever happened there? That's not what I had in the plan. At this time of the year, life can be busy, life can be hard. There's so much in our world that is hard to deal with. God today is still a God with us God. God is not a distant God who plays some sort of cosmic chess with our lives, but he is God with us who comes alongside us and walks and journeys with us, carrying us when we need to be carried, encouraging us through his word when we need to be encouraged, giving us freedom and release from the things that bind us and try to hold us back from thriving into who we're created to be. Advent, this Advent season, as we've journeyed through Jesus being in our neighbourhood. We are looking with anticipation for Christ's birth. But it's also a time for us to look where God is already at work in our world and for us to share with Him those God with us moments, in beautiful moments that we share with family and friends. When people choose hard work of peace over the easy work of conflict. One of the ways that God wants us to be present in this world is through us. I don't want to hijack what's going to be talked about on Wednesday, but I wonder sometimes whether we expect God to turn up when God wants to use us as His vessel within our communities. We won't be the actual parents of the Son of God, but we're able to follow the call of Christ, where we can focus on mercy over law, where we can focus on love and obedience over what it means for our reputation. And we can embrace the mess of our lives and still trust in the silence that God is working anyway. Choosing to believe sometimes is really hard. Choosing to believe is actually seemingly impossible at times. Joseph was an ordinary man trying to follow God by his own ability. It led him on a wild and messy adventure while he raised the Messiah. God calls us to be on a wild adventure with Him too. That in the midst of our messy, broken lives, where everything is not as it should be according to our plan, God has a plan for us. A plan to give us a future and a hope. This Christmas, don't allow the baby to stay in the manger, but allow him to bring his suitcase, unpack it at your place and at mine, and move into your neighborhood. Maybe we've kept him at a distance. Maybe we've just enjoyed him being silent because we don't want to address what he's asking us to address. Maybe we're ignoring what God is asking us to do. You know those promptings that Neil referred to before? Maybe I should give someone a call. Maybe I should send them a text. Oh yeah, I'll do that eventually. Have you ever been guilty of doing that eventually and eventually still hasn't come yet? Absolutely, me too. And maybe our word of life for them is what they need to spur them on or bring their focus in the midst of everything that's going to distract them, bring their focus back to a life-giving God who wants the best for them.